Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that they catch you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Was a peak viewing success, pulling regular audiences of about 10 million or more. And it featured a fictional department for the observation and monitoring of scientific work, which was allegedly a government watchdog to protect biosecurity in the face of powerful and troubling scientific innovation, but in reality was a corrupted quango which routinely colluded with powerful commercial and political vested interests. But the hero of Doomwatch, who I had quite a soft spot for, was Spencer Quist, the tenacious investigator who cut through all the whitewash to avert a bewildering series of terrifying and imminent large-scale disasters. So for an anxious sixth form science student, this was compulsive viewing. All our forebodings about uncontrolled technoscience were magnified and dramatized week after week as the incorruptible Quist exposed everything from rogue artificial intelligence and pandemic anthrax to toxic global pollution and human-generated climate change. That was 50 years ago. Around 2,000 years ago, Jesus of Nazareth joined a rising chorus of apocalyptic preachers in occupied Jerusalem, prophesying There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, disaster among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint with fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And in his own lurid imagery of first century apocalyptic, those same chilling warnings of terrifying and imminent large-scale disasters rang out. Every year in Advent, the church traditionally tries to consider the sobering challenges of the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. It's a time to gird up our loins and take an unflinching look at some of the serious issues which we would quite reasonably prefer to avoid, not least in the cheery run-up to Christmas. But here they are, the great eschatological truths magnified and dramatized in a way which makes us sit up and seriously think and pray. Or we could respond with denial. Humankind has never been able to bear very much reality. We have powerful inbuilt psychological mechanisms for denial, for looking on the bright side, even against mounting evidence of a coming catastrophe. And to some extent, this psychological denial can be protective, making time for necessary mental and practical adjustment, without being overwhelmed by a panic that could paralyze us. Denial, which is partial, which is provisional, can be a healthy psychological defense mechanism. But as we all recognize, there is a kind of stubborn and wholesale denial, socially and spiritually, as well as psychologically and sometimes politically, which can be profoundly dangerous and anything but healthy. We see the fallacious reasoning of many of our contemporary vaccine skeptics and climate deniers that reflects this deadly, one could almost say demonic, character of this dark and irresponsible refusal of the truth. A close cousin of denial is, of course, despair, the refusal, the abandonment of any kind of responsibility or of hope. And despair in the Christian spiritual tradition is quite rightly one of the seven deadly temptations. A turning away from the gift of God's grace into a pit of our own hopelessness, losing all courage and motivation, giving up, ultimately, on life itself. Denial and despair are entirely understandable, all too human reactions. The sheer existential dread which apocalypse captures for us, people fainting with fear and foreboding of what is coming, is enough to make the strongest heart quiver and quail. But the point of apocalyptic preaching is not human terror. It is divine truth. It is divine encouragement. It is divine presence. It is divine hope. It is divine promise. I love Jesus's little parable of the fig tree. It reminds me of Philip Larkin's wonderful springtime poem about the trees. The trees are coming into leaf, like something almost being said. The recent buds relax and spread. Their greenness is a kind of grief. Is it that they are born again and we grow old? No, they die too. Their yearly trick of looking new is written down in rings of grain. Yet still, the unresting castles thresh in full-grown thickness every May. Last year is dead, they seem to say. Begin afresh, afresh, afresh. Let nature be our teacher. In the face of judgment and death, we may well grieve, and grieve deeply. But look up, says Jesus. The trees are coming into life. The buds on the fig tree are swelling. The kingdom is coming. Begin afresh, afresh, afresh. Let nature be our teacher, and let Christ be our friend. For us, in the depths of winter and in the grip of pandemic, today is the first day of the church's new year. Since the days of Christ, no generation has gone by without earthly fears and terrible challenges. But as children of a heavenly kingdom, we are reminded to look up. Beyond the bleak canvas of history, with its wearying cycles of doom watch and disaster, Christ lifts our eyes to the light of a greater truth, a larger story, our story, the unfolding beauty of a generous creation that flows from, that returns to, an unfailingly faithful and endlessly redeeming God who is tirelessly sowing fresh seeds of hope and healing for our renewal. So when these things take place, stand up and raise your heads. The Christian response to perennial stories of doom and disaster is not denial or despair. It is a deeper determination to bring forth a better fruit, the fruit of genuine hope and deep-rooted faith and a Christ-warmed love for God's whole creation. And that determination will lead us to action. I may not be Inspector Quist or even Greta Thunberg, but there is a witness I can bear, a service I can offer, a face of Christ I can offer and share among the world. And like the fig tree, there are fresh buds of wisdom and compassion uniquely given to me, to each of us, to bring to fruition in this world. So this Advent Sunday, we begin afresh. We take heed to our souls, on guard that our hearts are not weighed down by dissipation, denial, or despair. Standing firm on the ageless truths of our faith and determined to live as servants of a greater story. Look up, for your redemption is drawing near. Amen.